is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. And today we are talking about where have all the manners gone? Have you noticed? Some of them seem to have left, or maybe people didn't get them in the first place. I think most of us had mothers who told us it was important to have good manners. But is it really true in the world today that it's important in order to succeed? Well, I think Emily Post would be turning over in her grave if she knew what went wrong since she wrote her best-selling book, Etiquette in Society and Business and Politics and at Home. She wrote that in 1922, and for years and years and years, we have all followed those rules of Emily Post etiquette. But times have changed, and most people today don't care where the silverware is located as long as they can find it. And how many men really care to walk closer to the curb to prevent his date being splashed if a car should drive rapidly through a puddle of water or if someone throws trash out their third-story window? Most people don't even have a clue as to which side of the plate their individual bread plate is located on, or their water glass either, for that matter. We were recently eating in a very, very nice gourmet restaurant, and seated near us were two couples with a little small child. And that child was so obnoxious, he was yelling no to his parents and grandparents at the top of his lungs and launching into peals of screaming, not because he was hurt, but because he was angry. And his temper tantrum was so disturbing to the peace of the meal that, I mean, he was ruining it for all the other diners in the restaurant and for us. And my date finally asked the waiter to ask the manager to come to our table. And then he asked the manager to ask the couple to either control their child or leave the restaurant because, as he said, we were paying a great deal of money to have a delightful evening experience, and it was resulting in anything but delight. The manager complied, and the people left, taking their screaming child with them. Now, whatever happened to children being seen and not heard? They act worse today than they probably ever have. And this lack of respect for others is permeating our society. I've been trying to figure out how to differentiate the manners of the past with the manners of today. But I'm having trouble finding the manners of today and identifying them in order to compare one with the other. And I know this is a subject that probably very few of you care about. However, if you identify what I'm about to share with you by a modern term, these techniques are what one today would call branding. You brand yourself. You brand yourself by the way you behave, by the way you leave other people feeling. And we want other people to feel great about their encounter with each of us so that when they walk away, they have this feeling that that was a wonderful experience of being associated with us. But let's start with some of the basic things which most of us should know about but many don't demonstrate, and that's table manners. Why, these simple techniques will differentiate you from the masses. These small differences between you and others will set you apart as a person of class and character, a person who is in the know, and a person that people want to know. Start with your napkin. A napkin is a cloth used to protect your clothing from any spills in your lap, and it is used to wipe your mouth and hands. It is usually placed to the right of your fork, and when you sit down, you are to unfold the napkin and place it in your lap. You do not tie it around your neck. You do not tuck it in your shirt or use it as a fly swatter. I saw a lady using it as a fly swatter in a fast food restaurant the other day. And don't use it for blowing your nose. I don't care if it's a paper napkin. It's not there for you to blow your nose. If you need to blow your nose, excuse yourself from the table and go blow your nose in the powder room. And when you excuse yourself from the table, you do it by saying, "Excuse me, I'll be right back." You don't say anything along the lines of, "I have to go to the bathroom, I have to powder my nose, or I have to blow my nose, or I have to call my broker, or I have to visit the John." Do not use any of those kind of excuses. Simply say, "Excuse me, I'll be right back," and place the napkin on the seat of your chair. Do not put it on or near your plate. Don't put it on the table. And even if you haven't blown your nose in it, don't put it back up on the table. place your napkin in your chair. In better restaurants, the waiter will usually then take it, refold it, and place it back at your place setting. Not you, the waiter. Your sole responsibility is to place that napkin on your chair at any time when you're getting up and out of your chair, except at the end of the meal, when, of course, you will place the napkin to the side of the plate. Now, what about the utensils? Have you noticed the way people use utensils lately? I mean, some people hold them as though they're going to stab that cow or that steak so that it won't get up and run off the plate. And sometimes I've noticed that people don't even have a clue which utensil to use for what. So if you don't know, just start at the outside and work your way in. The utensil furthest from the plate is to be used with the first course. And on the left side of the plate, you find the forks. The salad fork is to the left of the dinner fork, usually, mainly when the salad is to be served first. It is smaller in size than your dinner fork. And the purpose of these two forks is for eating food. They are not used for taking food from a serving dish, and they are not used for personal grooming. Now, the reason I say that is because the other evening I was in a meeting with some very influential people, and as people were chatting, I noticed that the woman sitting across from me was bending the tines on her fork. And I was really kind of fascinated as to why someone would put their hand on that portion of the fork that they put in their mouth. So I just kept watching, and she kept bending and bending. She was chatting away, and it was kind of almost like she wasn't really even aware that she was bending the tines on the fork, but she was. And so I was watching her because I was curious as to what she was going to do. She bent the tines on that fork to a 90-degree angle with the handle, and then she reached over her shoulder with the fork in hand and used it as a back scratcher. Yes, that's what I said. I got to tell you, I was in shock. She used that fork as a back scratcher. We never use utensils on any other part of our body. We use a utensil to put food in one's mouth. We do not scratch our body with it. One of the men at the table made a joke about it because I guess I was just so shocked. I was like, what did you just do? Because she scratched her back, and then she laid that fork back on the table. And the man sitting next to her said, well, one knows that one never uses a fork to scratch their back. One always should use the knife. That was funny, but it is not correct. We do not scratch our body with any of the utensils. Utensils are used for putting food in one's mouth. And knives are used for cutting. They are used for cutting. Forks are not used for stabbing and tossing food from one's plate to the plate of another person. I recently saw a woman do this with spare ribs. She decided not to eat her last spare rib, and she stabbed her plate and threw that spare rib over into her husband's plate. It landed in the gravy, and it splattered right up onto his white dinner jacket. And then the lady sitting across from her evidently saw this lady throwing food from one plate to the other, and she started stabbing her carrots and moving them over into her husband's plate. You do not do that at banquets. You do not do that at dinner parties. You can do it at home when nobody's around, but you don't do it in public. These were pretty well-known public speakers, and I was just amazed that they didn't have good table manners. Knives and spoons are placed to the right of the table plate, with the teaspoon or the soup spoon being the furthest from the plate. The soup spoon has a more rounded shape than the teaspoon. And on the basic table setting, there are usually three knives, two beside the dinner plate and one which is placed at the top of the bread plate. The two beside the plate are used for cutting. The knife on the bread plate is never used for cutting. It is not sharp because it is only used for spreading butter on your bread. And while we are talking about spreading butter on your bread, you never butter a whole piece of bread at one time. First, you take the butter from the butter dish and put it on your bread plate, just the right size for you to butter a piece of bread. Then you pinch off a bite-sized piece of the bread and you use your butter knife to pick up just enough of your butter to cover that piece. If you eat bread, and most of us shouldn't, and your bread plate is located on the left side of your plate setting, it is always on your left, at least in civilized societies. Do not eat the bread from the one on the right of you. That belongs to someone else. Your bread plate is on the left of your plate setting. Also, recently I saw some young children doing this next thing. They were tearing off pieces of bread and then swiping it through the community butter dish. You do not do that, especially after you've had it in your mouth. It evidently was a learned habit because the 11-year-old girl was doing it, and your two older brothers were doing it, and they did it throughout the meal. They just took their bread and broke off a piece. That was the correct part. And then they dipped it over into the community butter dish and just scooped up butter and ate it that way. If there are other people at the table, it's going to leave them wondering where they're going to get their butter, or they're going to have to ask the waiter to bring another dish of butter, because nobody wants to eat out of a dish that you've kind of proclaimed as your very own and you just keep dipping your bread in, especially if you take a bite off of it and then you put that same piece of bread back in. You just don't do that. Now, occasionally there will be a fork and a spoon placed horizontally above your dinner plate. These are the dessert utensils, and they are used last. And that is common sense because that is when the dessert is served. So it makes sense. And you're rarely ever in this day and age, you're rarely going to see fish forks anymore, other than in the finest of restaurants. So the easiest way to understand where they are in the lineup is to pay attention to what is being served and in what order, and work your way in from the outside. And remember, the more sophisticated the utensil, the more obvious its use is. Things like oyster forks or those little holders that we use to eat escargot with, the escargot holders. I mean, it's pretty obvious what they're for because you really couldn't use them for anything else. Now, let's talk about how you use them. Do not grasp the handle of any utensil in your fist. Do not stab your food. Do not let the utensils drape off of your plate. They are either on the table, on the plate, or in your hand, not a combination of any of those. So we never, like, rest our fork on the side of the plate or our knife and let the other end of it touch the table. That is not correct. Now, water glasses and wine glasses are both on the right of your plate setting, and the wine glass is smaller than the water glass. The water glass is to the right of the wine glass. And the question is, how much should you drink? Well, drink all the water you want. As for the wine, if it is a business dinner, don't drink any. If you are with friends and family, or friends and or family, maximum of 3 drinks. And if you are driving, don't drink at all. Remember, you never start eating before the host or hostess. So if you have doubt as to what to do, follow their lead. Let's talk about words. Words that are part of manners, that show people that we are a little bit better educated than perhaps other people. Use the words please and thank you. Whenever you make a request of someone, whether at work, whether at home, whether just out in local community events, whenever you make a request, say please. And when you receive what you ask for, say thank you. This shows humility, and it makes the other person feel good about helping you out. And besides, humility is both respectful and charming. When you don't say please and thank you, you come across as commanding, arrogant, disrespectful, and selfish. If you can't use these three little words. Why would anyone want to please you or make you feel good or hire you or do business with you? When I was growing up, the lack of these words guaranteed you a snap to the head equal to the ones we see on NCIS. Now, I have to say, snaps to the head are not good manners and certainly should not be done outside of one's family. This is Judy Morio, and this is Choices. Today, we are talking about where have all the manners gone? Now, if you would like to continue receiving information on this subject or any of the others that I talk about on Choices, well, all you have to do is go to my website, judymorio.com, that's J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com, and sign up for my free monthly newsletter. You'll also receive a free download of my audio recording, Realize Who You Are. Excuse me. And while you're there, click on the link to receive a subscription to Choices Magazine. It's a quarterly magazine. And this magazine has articles by your favorite self-esteem authors. And you can get that free of charge 4 times a year when the Choices subscriptions come out. And so just go to my website, Judy at judymorio.com. That's J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. And you can click on that link and get that newsletter and that audio recording. Today, we are talking about where have all the manners gone. And our society is experiencing drastic changes, and it seems in many cases manners are falling by the wayside. But we all want to be appreciated for what we do, and it certainly doesn't hurt us to say please and thank you to people. Often when you use those words, you even get special treatment. People in the service industry love to hear please and thank you. Some of the times you could use please and thank you, or when someone holds the door open for you, when the waiter goes over the specials for the day, when the busboy pours you water or clears the table, when someone gives you a gift. I mean, there's all kinds of times when you say please and thank you. That's when you make a request that you do that, and when the request is filled. Another couple of powerful words that you might want to take a look at is I'm sorry. I'm sorry will take you a long way in life. And it's very important the tone with which you say these words. Don't say sorry about that. Say I'm sorry. Recently I was speeding down the highway and I was pulled over by a policeman, and when he walked up to the car I said, I'm so sorry, officer. I'm in a terrible hurry. And he said, well, I have only one thing to say to you. I know, I said, slow down. No, he said, watch the speed limit signs and stay within the limit. Yes, I'm sorry worked again. Then there's one of my other pet peeves, and that is doors. Elevator doors, train doors, doors. Pay close attention here. When people are in the elevator or on the train, they need to get out of the elevator or the train before you can get into the elevator or the train. Stand away from the door. So many of these trains even have announcements that say that. Stand away from the door. For some obscure, unbeknownst, and incomprehensible reason, people just don't get it. I need to get out in order to make room for you to get in. So stand back and let the people inside the elevator or inside the train get out first. Let's try another example that some people just don't get. When you're leaving the building, you open the door and boom, boom, somebody else walks right into you. Does anyone out there remember the days of holding doors open for others? I know it was a while back, but it is important. If people have their arms full of something, if people are older, if people are having a difficulty, even if they're not, it does not hurt to open the door. Most doors are just not that heavy. Slow down from your hurry-up world and open the door and make an attempt to be gracious. Most of the time, you're going to feel really good about it later. Treating people well is the best revenge. It disarms them. It's startling. It's charming. And in case you haven't figured this out on your own, charming people most often get further in life. Also, let's talk about tone of voice. Tone of voice. What's that got to do with manners? Well, it's got a lot to do with manners, especially if you're talking on your cell phone so loud that you're disrupting people sitting at other tables around you. It's inconsiderate. You're invading their space. After living in Africa for 8 years, my African business partner and I were traveling on a United States airplane going from one city to another when she turned to me and she said, "Why do they do that?" And I said, "Who? Do what?" She said, "Americans." I said, "Well, what are they doing?" She said, "They tell their personal business to complete strangers in a voice so loud that people on the plane 5 seats back can hear everything." Well, I didn't know how to answer her. I mean, I'm used to the fact that Americans do have a tendency to talk loud sometimes. But we do need to be aware that there are people around us, and a lot of people don't want to know your business. And I don't think any of us are just so important that we have to conduct business while we're walking from one place to another, or while we're sitting having lunch with someone and we're talking on the phone to somebody entirely different on the other end of the line and yelling and hollering and being loud and obnoxious and getting into the space of the people around you. And I know you say, well, you're not physically in their space, but believe me, when you're talking and your sound, your noise is going into that space, it's within earshot of the world, it is an invasion into their space. So be very, very careful. And consider the ears on the person at the other end of the phone. It's obnoxious for you to be yelling into the phone. If you have to ask, "Can you hear me?" they obviously can't. Move to another location or turn up the sound on your phone and speak with the other person. Don't speak at them. And keep your volume in a normal speaking tone. And while we're on the subject of yelling, watch your language. I don't care to hear you call people all kinds of obscene names. They may be, but I'm sure there are more descriptive words that could be more accurately defining their behavior than for you to be calling them names and using curse words. And stop being so self-absorbed. In a world where people are so caught up in looks and attractiveness, let me tell you something. Bad language is not attractive. It makes you look bad, and it makes you sound even worse. So just get over yourself and learn to use words that express what you really mean to say. And whoever said that just because someone calls you, you have to answer your phone? No, 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 you do not. Don't answer your phone when you're with someone else. That's just plain rude. Unless you're expecting some sort of an emergency call or a business deal that's going to mean millions of dollars, don't answer your phone. Don't answer your phone in the elevator and talk on the phone. But the other people in the elevator don't need to hear your business. So be very careful about it, whether it's a cell phone or a landline. Yes, identify yourself. And then ask questions using the please word and say thank you. And if you do not know the name of the person you need on the other end of the line, ask for the person in charge of whatever it is you are in need of locating. State your name first because that makes you seem important. And you are, after all. And it's not only nice, it is disarming. And remember, you want to be charming. Always be as pleasant as you can so you can leave people feeling good about you and their encounter with you. Well, this is only the beginning of our conversation on manners and where have they gone. There's so much more to manners. You know, in the first 7 seconds of meeting another person, we make judgments about his or her economical level, education level, trustworthiness, social position, level of sophistication, level of success, moral character, and even those people's social or educational heritage. How many times have you heard people say they come from old money or they're nuevo rich, meaning new money? I doubt many people are even aware of how closely we scrutinize others. Just the other day, I caught myself making a judgment about an escrow officer who had shaved off her eyebrows and drawn new ones on, and she'd drawn them from the bridge of her nose straight up to her hairline, giving her the appearance of the Klingon from Star Trek. And I was sitting there thinking, she couldn't be too smart or she wouldn't have done that to her face. Now, how could she not know how that looks? Do you think she didn't have a mirror? And why would someone do something that would detract from their appearance and keep people from hearing what they had to say? My mind was so busy with its own conversation, I had to ask her to repeat what she said. I hadn't even heard her. And do other people do this? Yes, we do. We start looking at other people, we make judgments, and we do not pay attention to what the person is saying. Paying attention to what people are saying, listening, hearing, repeating back what we heard people say, that's just plain good manners. To let people know what we heard them say and what we understood them to mean. So, very, very important to listen, listen, listen. Now, while I'm on the subject of manners, let's talk about chewing gum. Chewing gum should be done in the privacy of your bathroom. Do not chew gum in public. It looks terrible. It looks like a cow chewing his cud out there, or it just is not attractive. And for goodness sakes, don't pop it, crack it, or snack it as you chew. That does not look good. It does not say you're a classy person. And do not pick your nose. I sat down next to a young man on the airplane the other day. He was dressed in a business suit, a white shirt, and a tie. Very impressive. And he was reading a book entitled How to Think Like a CEO. And upon inquiry, I found out that he was on his way to a job interview. He was so engrossed in his book, he didn't even attempt to hide what he was doing. And the next thing I saw was that he stuck his finger up his nose. He actually picked out something and rolled it between his fingers and flicked it onto the floor. Ew! I then took out a tissue out of my purse and I handed it to him and suggested that if he is to get the job, he might not only want to think like a CEO, he might like to act like one as well. Most people in our society have been told when they're small children they should not pick their noses. What went wrong? We need to stop doing things that make us look like we don't have any upbringing. It does have an effect on our success. It does have an effect on the fact of people wanting to be around us or not wanting to be around us. And yes, I think men are experiencing more stress today than they were years ago because women have all kinds of new rules about the way that men should behave or should not pull out chairs or open doors. But here's the thing we all need to remember. When we do the right thing, when we put the other person first, when we think about what will make them comfortable, and we practice our good grooming at home in the privacy of our home, then most of the time we'll be doing what is right. If you have any comments or any stories that you want to tell me about where have all the manners gone, please contact me, Judy, at judymorio.com. That's J-U-D-I at J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. And let's just see if we can't all try to be the best that we can be and let the other people around us know that we care about them. We want to be gracious and charming. And most of all, I want you to remember that you can do it. You can leave people feeling better about being around you because you are more than enough.